Okay, so today we're going to try to use the board. Adam is going to help me here. Will be my extended hand out of this box. Okay, so guys, let's quickly review what we did yesterday. So we noted that the first attempted source for Chezkat Gimel Shanim is from Holche Usha is the case of Shor Muad. So first of all, we noted that in theory, there are two possible questions it could be asking. One is, where is the source for the notion of chazaka at all? The second is, we know chazaka, but we don't know three. We focused, like the Yerushalmi, on the very existence of chazaka. We end the chazaka rather than three, and we'll see that some Rishonim argued on that, but that was the assumption we worked within yesterday. Whether, when the Gemara says, or the Gemara just says, how do you know chazaka is 3 years? So that could either be understood as, how do you know that we already know there's such a thing as chazaka, we want to know that it, how we get to number three, or we want to know how we know there's such a thing as a chazaka of this type to begin with, and we're going to derive both the source of chazaka and the number, right, the quantitative elements of that chazaka from the same source. The Rishalmi clearly thinks that it's the latter, because the Rishalmi doesn't say minayin l'shalosh, it says minayin l'chazaka. Okay? So then we said, okay, well, what does this teach us? So we got to figure out what exactly happens when you have an animal become a muad. So we noted that there's two main ways of understanding that. One is that the three times that an animal gores, someone tell me, reveal that it is a shor muad. Right, it reveals its inner nature, but it really was always a shor muad. Alternatively, no, you think that it becomes a shor muad, but by goring three times, it works it up into a frenzy, it makes it a type of a violent animal. It's actually part of the process of creating the shor muad. Okay? Now, as Yehonatan noted without quite realizing what he was noting, at some level, this question may be subject to the machlokes in the Gemara in Bava Kamma as to whether the purpose of these three warnings that an animal is goring is derived liyudei Torah or liyudei Gavra. Right? And if the point is to make the animal into a muad, it sounds like it's about actually changing a status. Where if it's liyudei gavra, then what you're saying is, no, the animal may always have been a muad, but you can't hold the owner liable until you prove conclusively that it is a muad. Carrying that over to Chezkat Gimel Shanim, we noted that this seems to be the question. That on the one end, you could say that Chezkat Gimel Shanim is merely revealing that, in fact, this was always his. It just takes 3 years for that to happen. Or you say that, no, it actually at some level creates it. The etzem amukhzakut, the fact that he's living there, gives him some sort of hold on it, and that's why the burden of proof shifts in his direction. We further noted that we're at some level oversimplifying this, because the Gemara notes that in the case of the Shor Muad, two things happen simultaneously. One is that it loses the status of Tam, and the other is that it becomes a Muad, and that's why the Gemara says, it's not really true that after three, it's after three that it is now a muad in potential, but that only manifests itself legally at four. So what type of parallel could that mean by us? So we said, well, you first got to figure out whether there actually is such a thing as a status of Tom, or Tom just means not sure muad. If it means there is no such status, so then what, right? Then you can't make this deal. But if you think there's actually two statuses, so then you note that really, by the case of the Chezkat Gimel Shanim, you're doing two things. You're removing it from the chazaka of the marakama, of the original owner, and you're granting that status to the new owner. And the question is, what is Chezkat Gimel Shanim doing? Is it actively giving the status to the new owner, or is it merely removing it from the first owner such that now the status quo would be to leave it by the second one, but not necessarily that he actually was granted active ownership, which is essentially, though I don't think we'll see this inside, but this is more or less the way the Rav Nachum Tully Trupp says the Chiddush HaGranat, which is that Chazaka basically moves us to a Safek, but when you have a Safek, so then you resolve it without proof with the status quo. Now, we noted that if we assume that the Gemara is at this stage not talking about proof, but is talking about actually creating muhsakut, creating a certain hold in the land, then it makes sense why the Gemara then counters, which is what we left off with yesterday, and says, but wait a second, if it's about something more than proof, something different than proof, then why do you need a claim? Because I understand if you're functioning on the plane of proof, so then you might need to provide an explanation and say, this is how it got to me. Right? I mean, Chesked Gimel Shanim isn't enough. Chesked Gimel Shanim is, it's likely mine, as long as I have a plausible story, then 3 years of it being in my property gives good reason to believe that origin story. But if you don't have an origin story, right, and Chesked Gimel Shanim is about proof, so then you have no proof. But if you think that no, Chazaka actually creates a certain hold in the land, so then you might understand why you don't need proof. And that's why when the Gemara counters and says, well, why do you need a Taina? It may actually be shifting from the understanding that Chazaka is not about proof, but about Muchzakut, about the fact that you hold it itself giving you power in the land, to the realm of proof. Right? That's where we left off yesterday. Yes, Adam. Say again? Sure. Feel better. Okay. So that's what we were up to. Okay? So we were four lines down in the Gemara. And the Gemara said, Alamatznan, why if, let's assume the way we were reading it yesterday, that if you think that at some level Chazaka gives you a hold in the land, that's not just based on proof. It's not just evidence. So then Alamatznan kol Chazaka shein imatana ina Chazaka. Then why is it that you need a backstory? And without a backstory, it doesn't work.
Sorry, why do you need a backstory?
Why won't it work without a backstory? Without a taina, without a claim? Without an explanation of how you got there. So what does the Gemara answer? Dilma kidika amar. Hashta ihu lo ta'in. Anan litan le. What? A claim merely means any legal explanation of how he got the field. You gave it to me as a present 3 years ago or more. I bought it from you 3 years ago or more. I collected it as a loan because you owed me money and I took it from you. Anything, whatever it might be, right? Whatever legal explanation the person comes up with, right? It has to be there, right? But if you think that Chazaka isn't just about proof, so then it shouldn't need a claim, right? It should be itself. Look at Rashi. If you think that Chazaka itself has the power to remove property and give it to somebody else, you shouldn't need evidence, right? Or an explanation. Okay. So the Gemara says, the time of my, the Amrinan Dilma Kidika Amar Hashta Ihu Lo Ta'in Anan Litunle. So if you look at Rashi says, time of my, Amrinan Shaloshanim Mafkile Mechezkad Marakama. Why do you say that the Chazak of 3 years removes it from the original owner? The Amrinan Dilma Kid Amar Ihu Ze Omar Likahtiya Mimcha Ze Omer Gizaltiya Mimena Vein Anu Yodin Haemet Imi Atya Cheska Chalashanim Muki Labir Shute Va Amrinan Dilma Kushtahu Kidika Amar Aval Bilotana Mehechan Kina Vishvilachila Chalashanim. So Rashi says, what's going on here?
The Gemara at this stage seems to be working very much on the evidentiary plane. And this is what Rashi says. After 3 years, so what happens? Okay, Ellie, you want to be the original owner or the new owner? The original. Okay, Ellie is the original owner. Rami is the new owner. Great. So after 3 years of living in his property, whatever that might be, Eli says to Rami, get off my land. And Rami says, I've been here for 3 years. So now Rashi says, well, what's really going on? Is Eli says, I understand that you've been there for 3 years, but that's because you stole it from me. Right? Right? Or I went on a trip and then I was stuck out of the country because of COVID for years on end. Right? Not my fault. That's how you got the squat there. And Rami, so, in Yeshi Mataina would be that Rami says, Mapidom, you sold it to me. So then the halacha is clear. After 3 years, Rami says, you sold it to me, and I've been here 3 years. The fact that I've been here for 3 years is proof that my claim is more plausible than your claim, because your claim is I've been here illicitly for 3 years. Really? Then why did nobody ever kick me off? The fact that I've been here uncontested for 3 years is good proof that it's mine. And therefore, my claim that I bought it beats your claim that I stole it. But if Eli comes to Rami and says, it's mine, and Rami says, I've been here for 3 years, and Ellie says, yes, I know you've been here for 3 years. You stole it from me. And I've been stuck out of the country. And Rami says, I've been here 3 years. And Ellie says, I understand you've been here 3 years, but you have no right to be there. You were squatting. And Rami says, but I've been here 3 years. Right? So Rashi says at this stage in the Gemara, what it's saying is it's about proof. So 3 years bolsters a claim. But if there's no claim, then it reverts back to the Marakama, to the original owner. So it's clear that this stage in the Gemara, the Gemara seems to have transitioned, at least for this stage, to the evidentiary plane, right? That the role of Chezkel Gimel Shanim is to prove. And therefore, you need an explanation, because Chezkel Gimel Shanim can bolster a proof, but can bolster a claim, but there needs to be a story. Right? The Chezkel Gimel Shanim needs to be part of a legal tale. If they're not, well, you know. Yes, Ellie, you were in the middle of saying something before I co-opted you to be a property owner. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
they need a claim, not a proof, they need a claim. They need a claim that has legal force, meaning they can't just say, I stole it from you. Right? If Rami says, it's mine, I stole it from you, that doesn't work. But the Gemara's conclusion at this point is that in order for Rami to keep the property, after 3 years, he doesn't need a shtar anymore. He doesn't need to prove. The 3 years are enough to bolster his claim, but he needs a claim. He needs an explanation of how he got here, because squatting can bolster a claim, but there needs to be a claim, because otherwise your claim undermines his living there for 3 years, right? You claim he stole it. That's why you were squatting. Rami just says, I've been here 3 years. If he doesn't counterclaim, then your claim undermines the relevance of his squatting. But if he has a counterclaim, right, you claim it's mine and I never sold it to you, you stole it. And Rami says, no, I've been here for 3 years legally because you sold it to me. So then 3 years is the point at which that bolsters his claim and overpowers yours. Yes, Rami. It has to be a legally relevant claim. I bought it from you. I inherited it from you. You gave it to me as a present. You gave it to me to pay off a loan. It has to be some relevant claim, not aliens took over the world and removed the notion of private property for 6 months, and when they reinstated it again, it has to be a legally relevant claim. Legally relevant claim. What? Then it doesn't matter. The point is, he said you sold it. I don't care what the backstory is. I don't care if Ellie sold you the property because he was out fighting aliens. I don't care if he sold you because he needed the money. I don't care if he sold it for you because he decided he didn't want to live in Modian. He wanted to live in Caesarea. I don't care what it is. He sold it to you. That's a claim. Right? The backstory of the claim, I don't care. I care about the claim. You just said the claim is he sold it to you. I don't care why he sold it to you. He sold it to you. You have Chesed Gemel Shanim. That bolsters your claim that it was sold. That's enough. Okay? Fine. Now let's continue. But now the Gemara says, Makiv la Rav Avira. Rav Avira now challenges it. And he says, Ela me'ata. Micha'a shelo bifanav. Lo teheve micha'a. Domia dishor mu'ad. Ma shor hamu'ad bifanav bi'inan. Av hachanami bifanav bi'inan. The Gemara then says, wait a second. If the source of Chesgat Gimel Shanim is derived from what? From the case of Shor Mu'ad. So then we should carry over every aspect of Shor Mu'ad, including the fact that Micha'a must be done with, what's Micha'a? The protest. Eli saying to Rami, that's mine. What? So here's the halacha, right? So Chesgat Gimel Shanim needs to be 3 years of unchallenged squatting. But if the squatting was challenged, so obviously that undermines it, right? So let's say Eli challenged Rami after year one, but the courts were closed for 2 years because of coronavirus. So he only brings it to court in year after 3 years. So Rami can't now turn around and say, aha, I said I bought it from you, and I've had 3 years of squatting. Time freezes when Eli protests. Right? That's called Micha'a. Well, why is that true? You tell me, why is that true? It's obvious. Why is that true? Right, meaning exactly, right? The 3 years has to be 3 years that actually are squatting in favor of Rami. But the second that Eli comes in, because after 1 year, the burden of proof is on Rami, not on Eli. Right? It's still Eli's. And if Eli says, hey, get off my land, so if Rami continues at that point, Rami can't say, aha, you see I had 3 years of squatting. Eli will say, yes, but after 1 year, I told you, get off. The next 2 years were definitely illegal because the burden of proof is on you. Right, until 3 years, I have the de facto ownership. And therefore, if I challenge you after 1 year, you didn't get off the field, I just didn't have a chance to get it to court, I can go to the court and say undeniably that that year two and three of squatting were illegitimate. They don't count for legal purposes. The only thing that matters is year one. Right? The macha'a freezes it. Right? The challenge freezes it. So the Rav Avira says, well, wait a second. As we'll see later on, Eli doesn't actually have to say it to Rami's face. Right? Eli could be in America. Right? And Rami could be here. So Eli just says to Yehonatan and Ezra, listen, I just want this down for I want you to write this down. Today, I heard that Rami is in my land. I challenge it. It's illegitimate squatting. Note the date. We're going to get to what's necessary. I'm bracketing for now whether I actually need to do what I just said. For the moment, don't read anything to what I said, because tomorrow's going to ask, how do you do macha'a? Okay? We'll see. There are legal ways of doing it. But it's clear that you don't actually have to do macha'a in front of Rami. But then he's going to have to know about it. We're going to get to that. Yes, he is going to have at least the possibility of knowing about it. That's going to be a lot of discussion in the Gemara. right? But it doesn't have to be in front. It doesn't have to be in front of him. That's what you need to know for the moment. Okay. Yes, he's gonna. There needs to be the possibility they can. You can't do it in private. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. But Avira says if you actually equate Cheskas Gimel Shanim with Shor Muad, so then Eli should actually have to challenge Rami to his face. Why? Because Shor Muad, that's what you have to do. The goring ox. When you actually have to tell the other person in court, your animal gored, time one. Your animal gored, time two. Your animal gored, time three. Right? There are legal consequences for this. Why do you not have to do it? So, someone explain to me that claim. Why would you think that if you carry over from Chazaka, from Shramuah to Chazaka of Gimel Shanim, that you need Macha'a to parallel Ha'ada'a? Okay, so clarify, meaning what? Okay, good. Fine, good. So Rami says as follows. Let's say that we imagine that Chesed Gimel, that Shor Amud is about evidence, right? We need to reveal its status, and we need to make sure that the owner knows. And the standard for making sure that the owner knows is to your face. So maybe it's not quite parallel, but maybe you'd have to say, look, Chazka's Gimel Shanim, the way to undermine it is to challenge the squatting. In order to make it abundantly clear that this, right, that I have challenged the squatting, I have to do it to the face of the person squatting. Now, this is a little bit weird. It's not exactly parallel, right? It's not exactly parallel because you have to testify in court to apparently forewarn the owner, but here, right, it's someone trying, the person telling the owner that his animal gored is removing the owner's claim of innocence, right? Here it's sort of, right, flipped. It's it's removing the old status, and you have to, right, in order to remove the old status, you need to, right, chip away at it. Here it's a little bit different because it's the previous owner saying you're not allowed to create a new status, right? So it's a little bit weird, right? The macha'a is trying to maintain the old status, whereas the ha'ada'a is creating the new status, right? So maybe on the level of evidence, you could blur the line, right? And you could say you need it to be abundantly clear that you know that your animal is a gorer, and you need to be abundantly clear that I squatted, right, without challenge, or with challenge, right, whatever it is. You know, evidence just needs to be clear, right? But it is weird, right? They're not exactly parallel, right? Again, macha'a is trying to keep the old status, whereas ha'ada'a is moving it towards the new status, right? So it's not exactly parallel. Definitely in terms of creating a status, the parallelism is really problematic, right? Because again, mecha'a is undermining the ability to create a new status, and hada'a is creating the new status. So in both, right, whether you think that Shor Muad, right, the gorings and the subsequent warnings in court are forms of evidence that the status quo should be changed, right? Or it's actually changing the status quo. It's actually chipping away at the status. Either way, macha'a shouldn't really be parallel to ha'ada'a. Right? Because again, macha'a is backwards looking. It's trying to hold the property in Eli's hands and not let it transfer to Rami. As opposed to Ha'adah, which is slowly moving us to the point where we treat the animal in its new status. Right? So it's very weird, the parallel. Meaning it's opposite. It's problematic. You have to explain to me why it's not problematic. Are they? I just told you how they're not. You explain to me how they are. I've told you how they're not. Now you explain to me how they are. Don't just tell me they are. Explain to me how they are. I just showed you how they are opposite. You're telling me they're the same. So tell me how they're the same. Don't just assert it. That doesn't fly. I told you I was going to break you down on every single line of this Gemara. I'm not going to let you get away with anything. You said you don't want you wanted to analyze every line. You want the svara of every Hava Mina Maskana? Good. Then you had better, right? You get what you asked for. I'm not going to let you, right? You can't pull the wool over my eyes here. I told you they're opposite. You told me they're the same. Good. Explain to me how they're the same. Explain it. Don't assert it. So what? So what? Rami, the magnitude of owing $100 is true whether you owe me $100 or I owe you $100. But I'd rather, but there's a significant difference between those two. Yeah, we all know physics and scalars and vectors. The reason that a vector has direction is because it matters. Okay? I understand they're the same scalar, but they're opposite vectors. That matters. You know, going forwards is different than going backwards. Even if you went 100 miles. If you and I both drive 100 miles in the same direction, we will be at the same place. If we go in opposite directions, we will be 200 miles apart. Okay? Direction matters. Yes, it does. Good. I'm glad that we've established that direction matters. So Rashi does attempt to explain it. So why don't we now try to see what Rashi says. Rashi says, Klomar, sorry, Dumya Deshora Muad, Shemi'idin Sheshoro Nagchon. If someone testifies that the animal is a goring animal, uvishalosh pe'amim she'idu shelo befanav, eino nasem muad, af hatrat eidot shemacha lo teve eidot shelo befanav. So just like the warning to the owner of the animal, who owns the goring animal? Yaakov owns the potential goring animal. I'm sorry. Rami is already the thief and Eli is already the previous owner. We're running out here. Of what roles people can fill here. Okay, yeah, Jonathan, you can be a judge, okay? Yay. Or Yaakov can be a judge and you can own a goring animal. Yeah. Ezra's like, I want to own a goring animal. Okay, Ezra owns the goring animal. Ezra has a deep, deep desire here to own a goring animal. Fine. What? Fine. Yaakov owns Ezra, who is the goring animal. Fine. Yes. Okay. Now everybody as well. And we'll find a role for Andrew too. Okay. So Rashi says that hatra'a are equivalent. Why? Dumya deha adai shi hatra lishmor shoro. Rashi says something shocking. And Rashi says, no. This is what's going on. Later on, the Gemara will tell us that one of the key issues here is, how are you feeling, Andrew? No, good, good. One of the key issues here is, do you or do you not have your star? After 3 years, if you have a claim and Rami squatted for 3 years, Rami no longer needs to provide his star. But Rashi notes that what is the effect of Eli's macha'ah, of Eli's protest after year one? Eli, what's the effect? So it really has two effects. One is it undermines the power of the squatting. But what are the implications of undermining the squatting? That it, what does freezing in time accomplish? Does it automatically kick Rami off his land?
No.
What does it do? Right. So therefore what? So Rashi points out, what does it mean? So now what if Rami, after 3 years, you bring him to court, right? You protest after year one, and after 3 years, you bring him to court. And Rami says, what do you mean? You sold it to me. And you say, I didn't sell it to you. You stole it. And Rami pulls out a document dated 3 years ago that says, Eli sold the property to Rami. It would 100% be valid. Yeah, so what? But he has a document predated. He has a document from 3 years ago. Now, whoa. If Rami has a deed, a legal deed, does he need the squatting? He's not a squatter. He owns it. What does the macha'ah do? The macha'ah freezes time such that it requires Rami to prove that he owns it through legal means other than squatting. But if he can prove it, then it's still his, right? Meaning if, let's say, Eli comes and, right, buys my house. So tomorrow, Ellie's in the house, right? Good luck paying it with the weak dollar, okay? Fine. 318 yesterday, my God, right? That's what happens when there's a coup on Capitol Hill, you know, right? But Eli buys it from me, or no, who's left? Yehonatan buys my house, fine? So Yehonatan says, what do you mean? Well, I haven't been here for 3 years. That proves nothing. I bought it yesterday. Here's the deed. So then it goes to Yehonatan. What does the macha'ah do? The macha'ah forces Rami to hold on to his legal evidence and not rely on a claim plus squatting. So Rashi says, you know what the common denominator is? The warning puts the owner on, right, on alert that he needs to make sure that he has to protect other people from his animal because his animal is getting violent. The macha'ah puts Rami on alert that he can't rely on squatting. He needs to hold on to his evidence. And Rashi says that's the comparison. It's not on the plane of, it's on the plane of, right? Does the relevant person now have to, right, be alert, right? Now, by saying that, what is Rashi essentially saying? Well, Rashi is essentially saying that at this point in the Gemara, Rav Avira is blowing up a straight comparison between Shor Muad and Chezkas Gimel Shanim, because these are different things. They're really not the same. Meaning, yes, one of them is the Ha'ada'ah is pushing it towards the new status and putting the person on alert that he has to go to the future. The other, right, they have to think towards the future where his animal might be different than it is now. Macha'ah points you towards the past. The Gemara is just saying that if they're sort of compared, right, they're compared in the sense that there's X number of, right, there's a process by which it basically warns either the new person that he needs to be ready for the future, right? But that already presents a very different model than what we've seen, because it sort of works in the evidentiary model, it sort of works in the changing the Chazaka model, but it shows that the comparison is not that neat, because like, it's a loose comparison. It's when you do the warning that tells the person to prepare for the future, right? That has to be done to his face, right? But it already says, it already starts to highlight that, you know, the exact mechanism by that works, they aren't quite identical, right? And that seems to be what the Gemara does in its next line, where the Gemara, but then the Gemara in the next line tries to say, well, let's see. Maybe they're different, but let's see what the significance is to the difference. So what does the Gemara say? Hatam hu vihu'ad divalav ktiv. Hacha chavre chavrach itle v'chavra dechavrach chavrach itle. In the case of Shor Muad, why do you have to warn him to his face? The pasuk says you got to warn him to his face. Tuad bivalaz. Why doesn't Eli need to protest to Rami's face? Because if Rami protests to Yehonatan, Yehonatan will tell Yaakov, and Yaakov will tell Adam, and Adam will tell Rami. Because your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend, it'll get there eventually. Now we'll see. I'm going to try, no promises, but Adaf Lametet, you'll see that this line actually becomes the comparison between Mecha'a, right, this protest, and Lashon Hara. Right, one of the two main figures in Shas of Lashon Hara is here in Bava Batra. Specifically the question of, are you allowed to gossip once it's assumed that everybody already knows the gossip? Right? Right, well, that's the Gemara's... So this is exactly the Gemara's point, which is once somebody knows it, the world knows it. Right? Because chavrech, sechavrech, chavrech, itle, once the world knows it, I'm doing nothing by adding to it. We'll see. This is one of the keys to gifts. But anyways, so the Gemara says, no, in the end of the day, it's different. It's different. Because by Shor Muad, the pasuk says, v'uad b'valav, and by... Mecha'a, all that matters is that Rami finds out that Eli challenged him. So now, somebody explain to me, at that stage, in this stage in the Gemara, what is the Gemara doing conceptually? What is it doing? Tell me, methodically, right, methodologically. At this point in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Hu'ad bivalav is different from Chavrech v'chavrech chavrech itle, what is that telling us conceptually about the nature of Shor Muad? And Chesged Gimel Shanim. Two options. Two main options. Before you get there, even more basic, you need to first outline what it's doing. There are two things it could be doing. Oh, good. It's admitting it's a difference, but what type of difference? There are two ways you could take it. How are they? Good. One is to say it's technical, which is, look, fundamentally they really are identical, right? They're identical. But there's a gzeres akasuv that ha'ada'a needs to be done in Bezdin with the owner there. But fundamentally they're the same. It's just that there's a technicality, right? And then you could plug in whatever you want. Shor Muad is about evidence. Chesged Gimel Shanim is about evidence. Shor Muad is about changing status through repetitive acts. Chesged Gimel Shanim is about changing status through repetitive acts. Right? The Gemara is just saying they're the same. The fact that one can be done by word of mouth and one can't is Xeris HaKosov. Okay? That's possibility one. And again, you could plug in whatever you want. They're the same because they're both about evidence. They're the same because they're both about mukhlakut. Whatever. What's the second methodological possibility? That this difference indicates that they're fundamentally different, right? Meaning, the question you have to ask at this stage in the Gemara, Yonatan, is, does the fact that ha'adah needs to be done in Bezdin with the owner there, while macha'ah doesn't, is that a technical difference, but fundamentally we're still in our original assumption that they're conceptually similar, right? Or does this itself show that these are fundamentally different, right? Meaning, is this, what? What do you mean? Way one of reading the Gemara is they're the same fundamentally, except one, we can rely on word of mouth, and the other, we simply can't because of Xeris HaKasim. Why? I don't know. But they're both about evidence, they're both about Muchzakos, whatever. No. One possibility is this is just, look, it's Xeris HaKasim. What do you want for my life? It's Xeris HaKasim, it's Xeris HaKasim. Sometimes that happens. The second possibility is no. The fact that one needs to be done to your face and one can be done by word of mouth shows that they're different. Someone want to tell me how that might play out? If you read this line as telling you that Shor Muad is fundamentally different from Chesed Gimel Shanim, why would the question of whether you need to challenge the owner into his face, why would that show that it's different? Yes, very good. Right? I would say maybe what it's saying is no. Chizgas, Shor Muad is about creating a status. When you create a status, there are formal rules. Do it in court, do it in his face, right? But maybe Chizgas Gimel Shanim is only about evidence. Right? It's 3 years of unchallenged squatting. That's what provides proof. And therefore you undermining it by challenging it. And if it's just about proof, the point is, did he know that he was challenged or not? That's all that matters. If he knew he was challenged, then his squatting means nothing. If he didn't know he was challenged, his squatting means something. Right? And on the level of evidence, it's just to figure out, do you have a right to this land? I don't need to do it formally in court. I need to make sure you know about it. I need to set the record straight. That's all. And as long as I can be sure that the claim got back to you, so then that's enough. Right, so it could be that at this stage the Gemara is already saying, no, it must be that these are different. Shor Muad is whatever it is, right, and Chizkas Gimel Shanim is something different. Right, so it could be a technical distinction, right, or this could be where the Gemara is driving a wedge between the two cases. So then the Gemara says, Uli Rebbe Meir D'Omer Richek Negichotav Chayav. So now remember, the Gemara at this stage, which is more likely of the reads? I would say the first one, because the Gemara is still going to try to continue comparing Shor Muad to Chesed Gimel Shanim. So the Gemara is at least trying to still maintain the notion that they are conceptually linked. Again, both in the plane of evidence, both in the plane of Milchakut, something else, I don't know. Because then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that not only can an animal become a muad if it gored on three separate days, but kal vachomer in one day. Ki rev nikirotav lo kol shekein. So then, achat klatla peiri bechad yoma. If you ate three times in one day, kagon te'ena, right, like you ate figs, right, three times in one day. You did three harvests in one day. Lehevei chazaka. Then it should be a chazaka after only one day. Because it's not about time, it's about acts. Now, we talked about yesterday that we weren't convinced that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it proves either evidence or a creation of status. It could go either way. Right? Meaning either, yeah, if someone gores three times in a day, it shows he's violent, right? Or, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it doesn't. Maybe it just showed he had a bad day, right? And Rabbi Meir says, no, it really does reveal something. Or Muchzakut, right? It creates a status. Yehuda says, to create a status, you need time, right? And Rabbi Meir says, no, you don't. You just need violence, right? You just need multiple acts. So the Gemara says, they're not exactly the same. Why not? Ma shara muad be idna de itle ha negicha leta la negicha. Hachanami be idna de itlai peri leta la hai peri.
Says, no, they are different. Why? Because each goring is a completely separate act. When I gore time one, right, Ezra was the shore, right? So when Ezra gores time one, that's fundamentally distinct from goring a second time. But eating the same fruit three times from the tree, those aren't distinct units. At this stage in the Gemara, is Cheskas Gimel Shanim about evidence or about Muchzakot, or could it go either way? It could go either way, right? Meaning it's saying either it's not enough evidence that something is mine if I just eat three figs, because maybe the owner will just look at it and say, that's basically one act of eating, right? So there is no extended proof. Or you say, if Cheskas Gimel Shanim is about asserting my ownership, creating Muchzakot, eating three figs is still the same act. It's just one act of owner, of expression of ownership. So at this stage, you can go either way. The Gemara says, okay, but I'll give you a case which is parallel to Rebbe Meir, and that is, what if you have something where the harvest season is a month long, right? And therefore, you can go through three total acts of harvest in a much shorter time period than 3 years. So then what's the halacha? What's the Gemara's answer, example? Kigon slough. What's slough? You guys, I know, looked it up in the English. So what is slough? What? Slough seems, is usually translated... No, that's pasta. Slough is normally translated as the caper berry. Anyways. Lahave chad zakas, the Gemara says, no, hatam peira mia ite, umigmar hudiga kagamir, ba'azil. So the Gemara says, no. There, the berries ripen at different stages, but they're all still on the tree at the same time. So that's still not distinct enough. So then the Gemara says, aspasta, that I think is the alfalfa, says, fine. What about... right, after 30 days, you eat three harvests. So the Gemara says, no, maybe that only grows a little bit, right? It's not going to full harvest after a month. Right? So it's still not a full act. So the Gemara says, okay, but come up with a case where after 3 months you waited for it to grow fully, you harvested it. Come up with the case. I'll come up with one. Right? So the Gemara answers, Man holche usha Rabbi Yishmael. You know what? Holche usha Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael ochanami. Titznan Rabbi Yishmael omer bamed varam amurim b'stei alav anavol. Stei ilan kanas et huato umasak et zeitav. The kanas et kaitso harei elu shlosha shanim. Gemara says, you know what? You're right. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the issue here is not time, but acts, just like Rabbi Meir says, that it's simply three acts, it doesn't matter how much time it's over. And therefore, if Ezra the animal gores three times in one day, he is a goring animal. And Rabbi Shmuel held that if you harvest in three different ways, that is enough to give it a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Now again, why is that? I think you could go either way. You could either say that's because the proof is created of three unchallenged acts, either three atomic units of time, 3 years, or three acts. Or, no, it's three acts of ownership. Give me presumptive ownership. Muchzakut. So again, some people are more convinced than I am that this is
weighing heavily in one direction or the other. I'm not sure. I think you could read it either way. But the Gemara in the end of the day says that only according to Rabbi Yishmael is it plausible to actually say that the source for Chesed Gimel Shanim is Shor Muad. Okay? But after all of that, the Gemara says, but we don't buy it. There are so many holes in this proof, as we've already highlighted, and it might only work according to some people. By the end, the Gemara says, let's move to proof number two. So what's proof number two? Amar of Yosef, Rabbanan Mai, Amar of Yosef, Kroktiv. It comes from a Pasuk. What Pasuk? Sadot Bakeseth Yiknu. Yirmiyahu told the people, what? Buy land. When did he say that? Yeah, what did he say? He basically said, right, what did he tell them? Why? Right, because Golos was coming, right? Now, the Rishonim spent a lot of time that I'm not going to figure out is how is this actually 3 years, maybe it was 2 years, maybe it was more. What chronology of Yirmiyahu are they using? It's enough to give you a headache for a very long time, right? It's very complicated. They're using a particular chronology. Let's not get too much into the chronology they're using. But if you're interested, the Rishonim really try to flesh out the chronology. But it says, Sadot v'kesef yiknu v'chatu v'sever v'chatom. Right, buy the lands and make sure you have your deeds. Shrei Navi Omeid Be'eser Umazer Al-Chadasrei. He's warning them and he's saying, right, it's year 10, he's telling you, right, in year 11, you won't have a chazaka, so you still need your deed. Implying that if it had been 3 years, if there had been a chance to develop not 2 years worth of squatting, but 3 years, you would no longer need to hold on to your deed. Right? That's what the Gemara is telling you. Right? That Yirmiyahu is saying, since you're only going to be here for 2 years, right, your only chance at proving the land is yours is holding on to your deed. At this stage, what has the Gemara done very clearly? But what does it really sound like? Does this sound like we're moved, that there's still two possibilities, muhzakos or evidence? Well, you know what? It could go either way, but I would say this Gemara starts to sound more like evidence, because Gemara is saying, right, like, buy it legitimately, right? Just make sure you hold on to your deeds, because, like, you know, everything's going to go crazy and it's going to be hard to prove. But, okay, it could still be read either way, because you could say, after 3 years, you'll need your shtar because you didn't have a chance to create the chazaka, which gave you de facto ownership. You could get very fancy, right? You could do that. Amar le Abaye says that doesn't prove anything because Dilma ate the Tova Kamash Malan, right? Maybe he's just telling them that's a good. It's a good idea to hold on to your shtar. He's not telling you have to, right? He's just saying that look, maybe chazaka, you'll have a chazaka after 1 year, but it's still easier to have a deed. It's always easier to have a deed. Right? Maybe he's not telling you that fundamentally 2 years you can establish a chazaka. He's just telling you, why do you want to deal with the headache? You're already going to be exiled. Isn't it bad enough? Right? Why do you have to deal with court cases? Just hold on to your deed so that, right, you can shove it in their face and say, it's my field. Let me be exiled in peace. Right? Whatever. Right? He's giving them good advice. Dilote ma'achi. He said, how do I know that Rabbi Yirmiyah is just giving good advice? Sorry, not Rabbi Yirmiyah. That Yirmiyah, as in the prophet, is giving good advice. Right? Because he also says, Banu Batim, Meshavu Vinitu Ganot, Vachwa Peiran, Yerbriyan. He also tells the people to plant and eat fruit. Like, that's clearly not legal advice. He's just saying, like, you know, here's what I suggest you do. So my comrade, Eitzatova Kamash Malan, Hanami, Eitzatova Kamash Malan. He's just giving them good advice. Tate, I'll prove to you he's just giving good advice. Right? Because he gives them other good advice. He tells them to hold on to their shtar in a place that will be protected. Now, you don't have to. You can keep all your safe, your really, you can keep the deed to your house in your sock drawer and hope that, right? But Yirmiyahu was giving them advice and saying, put it in the safe deposit, safety deposit box, right? So Yirmiyahu isn't a proof, he's giving advice. So Rava then comes, and we'll have to pick up with Rava tomorrow, but let me just get it out there. After all these convoluted, right, Holchei Usha, Shor Amuad, all the problems, Rava comes up and blows it up. And he says, you people have been barking up the wrong tree, right? This is just, right, he's a pretty old idiom, but that's fine, right? You guys, you just missed the boat. Right, you missed the mark. You're just wrong. This has nothing to do with anything. This is not a pasuk. It's not a nothing. It's not Yirmiyah. Right? Very simple. This is how it happened. Amarava, shata kamaita machil inish, tarte machil. Year one, Eli says, "Yeah, Rami, enjoy my land. I don't care." Year two, Eli says to Rami, "I know you missed this. Eli owns the land. Rami is now the squatter." Okay. And Ezra is a goring ox. He's the ox. He belongs to Yonatan. But he is the ox. Okay? Sure. You're a goring chicken. Ouch. You can be, like, see, the Gemara has all types of ones. In Chulin Kuf Mem, the Gemara is the famous case of the murderous chicken that they stone because he killed people. We have all types of fun things going on in Chas. You're a murderous chicken. I don't know. I don't care. I got the pun. I did understand that, yes. Fine. Year one, Eli says, let him enjoy it. Year two, let him enjoy it. Plot lo machil. But for 3 years, people do not let other people squat in their land without challenge. Oh, very good. So we're going to figure out. Rava says, after 3 years, people don't stop you. And therefore what? According to Rava, have we moved? Rava very clearly seems to think that what is Chesed Gimoshanim? It's evidence based on psychology, which is that Eli would never put up with Rami being at his property for 3 years without challenging him. So if Eli didn't say something, then 5 years later, Eli says something, then proof that Eli really, that when Rami says Eli sold it to me, he's not lying. Because if Eli hadn't sold it to him, he would have stopped him at some point. But the fact that he just let him go forever is de facto proof that it is in fact Rami's. But then he says, okay, what we're going to have to do is continue right now. This is Rava possibility one. We're going to see. Rava is going to say possibility one. Abai is going to challenge him. Rava is going to come up with a new possibility. Go for tomorrow. Understand Rava. All stages of Rava. Okay, we've now left Holchei Usha. We've left Shor Muad. We are now just in the realm of what? Now we're in the realm of how do people normally negotiate property? So what I want to do tomorrow is understand Rava, try to understand every part of it, right? Which is the role of challenging, the role of macha'a, all of that, right? Try to figure out what models this supports. Muchzakut, evidence, the passive Sheval Tasa model, whether any of those work into Rava. Hopefully tomorrow we will manage to get through Rava, at least in the Gemara. Once we do that, we can go back and plug all of this back into as many of the Rishonim as we get to. But that's what I want you to do, is get through the multiple versions of Rava, figure out what you think they mean, right? And then, hopefully, if we manage to get through the Gemara, then we can start to see the way the Rishonim and one Achron, we will see the Ksot, because the Ksot has a very different understanding than anybody else in this figure. How they understand it. Okay? Pay attention to Rava. Break your teeth over Rava. If you finish Rava, then start reading the Rishonim. Right? But at least make sure you know every possible read of Rava very, 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 very well. Okay?